We have other ways of measuring the brain, and this is not a lecture on methodologies for imaging the brain, but this one I really like because it does something that you can't really do with just where in the brain this thing is, this process is active, and that is electrophysiology. There are, at Vanderbilt, about 6 different electrophysiology labs, and this is a very hot area of research. What we're able to do is, in really crude terms, surround the scalp with salty sponges, connect those to wires, and to listen in on fluctuations of brain activity. The nice thing about this is we can do this 1,000 times a second, which allows us to do something which is akin to stop-motion photography. We can look at the brain activity in response to an event. If you average together 1,000 little one-second movies of people's brain activity spontaneously, they all kind of average out to this zero baseline. However, if inside each one of those one-second samples an event occurred at exactly the same time, like a word popped up on the screen, it leads to this ripple effect in the brain activity we call an event-related potential. We can make a movie of this ripple effect that's kind of like if you look at a stop-motion photography of a drop of water hitting a glass of water, the surface, you can look at this beautiful cascade of events that was completely invisible before because it was just too fast. But when a drop of water, about 170 milliseconds after it hits the surface, this echo drop appears, and this penumbra appears. And this drop isn't the drop that you dropped, but this is like an echo drop that was reformed. And you can look at all these complex dynamics as they unfold over time. You can do the same thing with human electrical signals by plotting out the voltage over the whole head and seeing how does that voltage change when a word hits the retina, and the retina, the information processes to the back of the head, and the visual systems analyze, and they pass the information back forward to the front of the head so you can evaluate what was that I saw. When we do this over the course of 1 second over the back of the head, we get these traces that are very interesting and very complex, and I'm not going to go into that, but critically, who you are and what you've done with your life has a big impact on how these things emerge. So if you're a skilled reader and you recognize these visual words, you get an increased response about 170 milliseconds after you see a visual word. Your visual system responds quite differently to a visual word if you're skilled, if you're an expert in reading, versus if you're looking at some stimulus for which you have no expertise at all. We can map that out over the head just by presenting the object of your expertise, these visual words, or something completely novel. And we can look at how the brain responds differently across these. And we can map this out at a snapshot, right when these two signals diverge, right when the expertise first starts to show itself in the signal, that we can see this deviation related to your experiences of looking at a visual word versus looking at the symbol. About 170 milliseconds, just about the time that drop of water was forming back out of the surface of the water, we can see this specialization occurring in this left part of the visual system has become reorganized to respond differently to the object of your expertise. So your reading experiences is changing your perception in this very particular way, but this was all, everything I've said up to this point was really looking at just taking the clock apart, understanding the expert state and figuring out how the parts work, how quickly they work, how they're organized, and things like that. And I want to shift now to something completely different, to steal a line from Monty Python. Do you guys still know Python?
Yes.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it.